Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Welcome, sisters. Now, today, I am actually going to tell you something very important. I will say that a companion was given the glad tidings of paradise because of one of his deeds. What do you think this action could be?
Not backbiting.
No. In other words, this companion was given the glad tidings of paradise three times because of a particular deed. Our Prophet, peace be upon him, emphasized three times that this companion was promised paradise.
To share in someone's troubles with empathy?
No.
To seek the blessing of the mother and father?
Come on, sisters, let's push it a bit. What could it be? Three times.
Sincere repentance?
Okay, I'll tell you now then. One day, while our Prophet, peace be upon him, was sitting in the Masjid an-Nabawi with a group of companions, our Prophet, peace be upon him, said that soon someone from the people of heaven will enter. A companion named Sa'd bin Malik enters. Then, at that moment, the companion had things in his hands, water was flowing from his beard, he had just done ablution. He stood there to pray. Then this incident is repeated three times on different days. The same incident. There was a companion named Abdullah bin Amr who witnessed this event and he was very curious about it. In other words, he wondered what distinguished this companion from the rest of them. What deed he did that made him deserving of being heralded as one of the people of paradise? Abdullah bin Amr also has problems with his own family. He goes to Sa'd bin Malik and says, "There are problems between me and my father. Can I stay with you for a while?" Sa'd bin Malik replies, "Of course you can stay." Then Abdullah bin Amr stays with him for 3 days and sees nothing different from his own life, nothing extra in terms of worship. On the last day, the third day, Abdullah bin Amr can't stand it anymore and says, "I have to confess something. I wonder, you are just like me, no different from the other companions. You pray like all of us, you worship like all of us, there's no difference in your life. Yet the Prophet, peace be upon him, gave you the glad tidings of paradise." Then Sa'd bin Malik reveals the reason why he was given the glad tidings of paradise. Naturally, the companions are very happy as they have been given the glad tidings of paradise. But finally, he says this, "As you see, this is my deed. However, I don't deceive any Muslim, and I don't envy anyone for what Allah has given them." Do you know what that companion said next? "This is what will take you to paradise. We cannot afford this," he says. Yes, friends, today we will talk about envy. Jealousy and envy are often confused in our vocabulary, but they are not the same. Jealousy can be considered a bit more reasonable. For example, it may be reasonable for a spouse to be jealous of their partner. That is, being jealous in the sense of being protective may be reasonable to some extent. But envy is when you are jealous of someone else's blessings. It is wanting those blessings to disappear, to be taken away from the other person, or given to oneself. In other words, envy is so dangerous that a great cleansing of the heart is required. With that purity of heart, we begin to understand why that companion was given the glad tidings of paradise. No bad thoughts pass through the heart of a true Muslim. They are happy for others' happiness and concerned about their troubles. That is true sincerity. Yes, let's continue. I want you to imagine someone you envy, someone you're jealous of. "Well, I don't envy anyone. It's not in my nature." There is no such thing, friends. Even if we believe, we are free from envy. This hadith proves that everyone harbors it in some way. We'll get to that subject in a moment. Everyone is an envious person, says our Prophet, peace be upon him. He says this in his hadith. It may not have come out, or you may have suppressed it. You might have restrained it, or it might have come out. That's why everyone has this in them. No one can say, "I don't have something like that. I would never be jealous of anyone else. So why should I compare and why should I be jealous?" Now, everyone can imagine someone they are jealous of or can be jealous of. Someone whose life you aspire to. But it's out of envy in the sense of jealousy. I'm talking about that. Yes, what did we say? What does envy mean? Being jealous of a blessing that someone has. Why does he have it and I don't? In our language, we actually say this with envy. "Oh my Allah, why did you give it to him but not me?" In our state language, we criticize fate. We are not aware of this. You say, "Oh my Allah, he is not worthy, Allah forbid. Don't you like Allah's decision? Is the property his? It's his. Is the savings in his hands? It's in his hands. So who are you then? Are you the one who decides this or am I? He doesn't deserve this. Do you deserve it? Are you the one who can determine who deserves it?" When we envy, we actually experience these things in our inner world. He doesn't deserve it. He has a car. But someone like that doesn't deserve it. Allah deemed it appropriate. Allah thought it was what he deserved. Allah saved his property and gave it away. Who are we, right? But that feeling of envy does not show us such ugliness. Let's continue. It says in the verse in Surah Al-Falaq, "I seek refuge in Allah from the evil of the envier when he envies." Right? When he envies, it is from the evil of the envier. So, if this envy emerges and is not really restrained, it also harms the person who is envied. But first of all, who is it harming? He is harming himself. Now, we will read a passage related to this. First, he harms himself. But when he envies, it means taking refuge in Allah from the evil of the envious person, which means that this feeling of jealousy, the feeling of desiring the blessings of others, can lead you to make very serious mistakes. For example, it can make you slender, or it can make you feel an ugly feeling, such as wanting someone else's blessings to disappear. He may be going through something good with his child, but you start to have bad thoughts about his child. Look, it is so dangerous that if you don't restrain it, you may end up holding an ill will against an innocent child. May Allah protect us. That's why it says in the words that when one envies, I seek refuge in Allah from the evil of the envier. For example, there is something related to this. Since the disbelievers couldn't overthrow our Prophet, peace be upon him, in any way, there was a man who was the last to be looked at, and everything he saw was destroyed. Imagine a man who, upon seeing a beautiful camel pass by, remarks on its beauty, and immediately the camel collapses. He has such an evil eye. They are trying to overthrow our Prophet, peace be upon him, in that way. They say that this man should overthrow him with his eyes. Then the verse comes down and it says in the Surah Al-Qalam, the disbelievers would almost cut you down with their eyes. But what happens? Allah protects our Prophet, peace be upon him. So actually, we need to get into the evil eye issue a little bit here. This is such a right situation. What does the hadith say? It says that the evil eye is true. Therefore, it is an issue that requires great attention. We need to know this. Two things attract the evil eye. First of all, intense love. A mother's love for her child can also attract evil eyes. Do you know what the second one is? Severe hostility, severe envy. In fact, we are under the influence of these two emotions. What do we do when we love very much? When we love our child very much, or when we have a great affection for something? What do we do to hide our amazement? What do we do to ensure that energy goes well? By saying mashallah, subhanallah, right? We're trying to hide it by praising Allah. But with violent hostility and intense envy, you can cause serious harm to the other party. That enmity, that envy, that hostility within you can take the situation to a whole different level. May Allah protect us. So, what should we do to avoid being jealous and envious? I don't want to be jealous. It's not right. But what should I do to get this envy and this feeling out of me? Now, we will say some things when we do these things. Okay, the envy will not go away from me. But over time, what will we do with ourselves to heal ourselves? First of all, you know what? The most important thing is to pray. What will you pray for? First, you will pray for yourself. Oh Allah, remove this flaw from me. I have an ambition, a grudge against things that I don't have control over and that I see in someone else's hands. I can't bear it. Take this feeling away from me. You will open your heart sincerely. I mean, I have such an ugliness. Take them away from me, Ya Rab. Secondly, you will pray for the person you are truly jealous of. You will pray that Allah will give her something better. This is a difficult thing, by the way. Thirdly, you will pray for the situation you envy. For example, maybe you are jealous that she's a very good engineer. So you need to pray specifically for that thing you're jealous of. It's a difficult thing, by the way. What are we doing by doing this? We're actually healing ourselves. We're trying to eliminate and clean the faults within us. We're actually holding a hose. There is such an accumulation inside. There's a grudge against your Muslim sister. What are you doing, actually? You're trying to cleanse it. Yes, do you know what we will do secondly? We will look at the creatures and the entire universe on behalf of Allah. Well, my friends, if there's beauty in her, she didn't build that beauty herself. She didn't put it there herself. If there's a blessing in her, that is, if we say that I did myself, is there any difference from Karun? Or is there any difference from the one who says that I achieved everything with my own knowledge? For example, this friend of ours has a great talent for painting. We need to think about what we are jealous of, such as, why does she paint so well and I can't? Why does he speak English so well and I can't? Yes, she may have made an effort within the scope of reasons, but there's someone who gave her this chance, right? We are people of faith. I believe in Allah, alhamdulillah. And I need to understand that this is something that Allah has bestowed upon her. What am I jealous of? You will look at the meaning in its literal form, and you will even say, mashallah, what a beautiful picture she draws. In fact, there is no such thing as 10 out of 10. And when you see that the beauty in it is from Allah, your heart will be relieved again. What will you do next? I think one of the most important things is that we need to be content. We have forgotten to be content. Imagine you have a family, you're happy, you're at peace, you have children, Allah has given you a life of certain standards, you live your life in a certain way, you have a beautiful life, but you turn away from your own life because of something that is in another friend's life and you don't have. And here your child grows up and lives, maybe your spouse expects attention from you, maybe he wants you to pay attention to you, but your mind is in another life. Like, why does she have a car? Why does she have a car? Why have her children succeeded and reached that point in their lives, but mine have not? Look, you have a life going on and growing here, but you're busy there. Isn't your child a blessing for you? A gift that Allah has given you? Why do you cover someone else's family life when you can improve it, preserve it in a better way, and protect your family life? Jealousy is such a dangerous thing that it increases a person's discontent to an extreme level, because discontent comes from ambition, and ambition is the cause of damage and loss. You also lose that beautiful thing. Unfortunately, it is, you had a very nice life. Maybe your husband loved you very much, you were very happy with your family, but when you wonder, why I don't have the things in other people's lives, you start to disappear. There is no need. Be content with your own life, your own business, your own profession, your own child, your own husband, whatever the beauty in your life is. When you learn to be content with that, others will not concern you much. Because there is already a blessing that Allah has given you. It is not that Allah has left you without a blessing. It is not right to get hung up on something material or a child in someone else's life when just breathing is a treat. Yes, let's continue. Finally, what should we do? We need to look at it from the perspective of the afterlife. You're jealous of that person. Okay, you're both dead, and whatever it is you're jealous of, you're all alone when you both die, right? What do you have with you? You have your sins and good deeds. Nothing else. There's no such thing in the afterlife, friends. The poor are going to go here, the rich are going to go there. There are sins and good deeds, and whoever's good deeds outweigh his sins will be saved. Think about it from the perspective of the afterlife. But when you think about his worldly possessions from the perspective of the afterlife, or the beauties he has in this world from the perspective of the afterlife, they become nothing. So we need to change our perspective. Just as we started to worship the world, our perspective has also started to become worldly, and we suffer this pain because we have moved away from the view of the afterlife. If we have a fault such as envy, if we are drowning in the beauty of someone else's property in someone else's hands, we may even feel like, I wish it were mine, or even let it go out of her hands and come into my hands. This is the final stage. If we are experiencing this, there's a worldliness that means moving away from the afterlife. We need to clear this fault, and our Prophet, peace be upon him, says in his hadith, all human beings are envious, but in some people, the envy is more severe. As long as the envy of the envious person does not appear on his hands and tongue, he will not be harmed. So, I can get rid of this. What will I do then? Look, our Prophet, peace be upon him, also gives the glad tidings of paradise. Okay, you have done all of these, but you still cannot get rid of it. What does our Prophet, peace be upon him, say? Everyone has this. It is in our nature. It is something brought by humanity, but in some, it is more severe. In some, it is less. Or some focus on self-discipline, he is fighting a struggle for discipline. Everyone has it, so no one should listen with his mindset. I have never been jealous of anything anyone has. You may be jealous. Maybe you haven't created an environment that can reveal this. I talked to a friend of mine the other day who is married and seems to have just gotten married. She started having some problems with her sister-in-law, problems like jealousy. Why does she have it and why don't I? But I would like to point out that she didn't experience this situation until she was 22, 23 years old. She had never experienced anything like this in her life until that day. Maybe she was saying, I don't have such a habit, but what happened after that day, when that environment was created, was that the fault in it suddenly began to emerge? Because the ground had been prepared. Believe me, even the most pious and devoted person you can think of has this fault. Because we are human. We are not prophets, are we? We don't have the attributes of isma, innocence, do we? Therefore, since we know that we are human, this is a very normal thing and something that everyone can do. The important thing is to stop yourself when that environment arises and you are exposed to that test. Wait a minute, what am I doing? I'm not that kind of person. These shouldn't be the issues I am preoccupied with. I have never fallen so far as to covet the blessings of the others. A person should know how to stop themselves. Let's continue. And now I want us to sing as mothers and fathers. How many mothers are there here? Who are the mothers? Yeah, we're quite a crowd. I am also a mother. I can say that the biggest mistake we make is thinking that the children will grow up with discourse. We believe that as we tell them things, they will learn and grow. Friends, children are not raised with discourse. They are raised through observation. They observe. You can talk to them as much as you want. Of course, our conversations are important. They affect our children. I'm not saying we should or should not talk, but this is as absurd as someone who does not pray telling their child to pray. Or it is as absurd as someone who does not read books trying to instill the habit of reading in their child. I'm not talking about exceptions. They do not break the rule. But in general, we try to raise children through discourse. We need to raise them through observation. They need to observe, examine, and see people praying. There are boys who wear scarves while praying. Why? Because they didn't see their fathers praying. They saw only their mothers. What we understand here is observation. Since the child sees his mother, he constantly thinks that prayer will be performed that way. He believes that men also pray like this. That's why children internalize what they see, friends. If we spend our lives as jealous people who desire the blessings of others, and if we experience the inner fire and destruction of this, the child will be like you in the future. Do you want your child to be unable to live their own life while envying the blessings of someone else 20 or 30 years from now? Do you want them to live a discontented life, always thinking about the blessings of others? You don't want that, so you have to change yourself first. Believe me, your child will be who you are. Look, exceptions don't break the rule. My child will be like me, so we need to heal ourselves. Especially, as parents, we need to address this issue, and it's a very troublesome situation. But most of the time, we are not aware of it. Yes, there's also this situation, and unfortunately, it is quite ridiculous, so I'll mention it. Jealousy regarding matters related to the afterlife. Now, wait a minute. There's a contradiction when it comes to jealousy in matters related to the afterlife. There is no limit to the rewards that Allah will give to people in the afterlife. What am I jealous of? For example, I can understand jealousy to some extent in this world if you have a car and I don't, or if you have children and I don't. Some people in this world are deprived of certain things, while others have those things, right? There can be some basis for jealousy in this world. But friends, blessings are not limited in the afterlife. There is nothing like this here and there in paradise, Jannah, we are talking about endless blessings and beauty. The fact that someone prays a lot and worships a lot is not something to be jealous of. It is something to be admired and respected. Paradise is an endless beauty. Now the Ustad Bediüzzaman Said Nursi will talk about the faults in people who are jealous of him. If his enmity arises from envy, then it is the most severe form of torment. For envy in the first place consumes and destroys the envier, and its harm for the one envied is either slight or non-existent. So in these jealousy issues, the real issue is who is envious and who is envied. We need to pay attention to that, because it burns. Look at Ustad's words. He says it burns. Why should a person live the best years of his life by being jealous of others and thinking about the beauties in someone else's life? How many years will you live in this life? What is the need to think about someone else's blessings like this and focus on them when you can be content with what you have to get burned and ruined, so to speak? Let's continue. Let the envious reflect on the ultimate fate of those things that arouse his enmity. What am I jealous of? His son became a doctor, but my son did not. He is working at a job, his son earns a lot of money, while my son can barely make ends meet. This is what he envies. Being a doctor is a beautiful thing. But with death, everything becomes zero. When I say this, yes, there's a life in the world as a doctor. But doesn't everything become zero with death? Am I wrong? Those who earn a normal salary will have the same status when they die. And those who are in very good positions will also have the same status, right? Think about the end of those things. Am I jealous of her beauty? She has a very beautiful face. MashaAllah, she was created very beautifully. I am not like her. Are you jealous of this? When she gets old, that beauty will fade. So are you jealous of his money? It will go away. If you're jealous of property, wealth, lineage, or anything else, think about the fate of what you're jealous of. It will all go away, friends. There's nothing left. The beauty, strength, rank, and wealth possessed by his rival are transient and temporary. Their benefit is slight, and the anxiety they cause is great. What does our Prophet, peace be upon him, say? He says, we will be held accountable for all our blessings. Right? Okay then, its anxiety is in the afterlife. And the anxiety they cause is great. If it's a question of personal qualities that will gain him reward in the afterlife, they cannot be an object of envy. But if one does envy another on account of them, then he is either himself a hypocrite, wishing to destroy the goods of the afterlife while yet in this world, or he imagines the one whom he envies to be a hypocrite, thus being unjust towards him. He prays so much, but is not very sincere. I know he's not sincere. Who are you to judge him? Which heart-shaped eye opening did you mean? No way, he's a hypocrite, and you're jealous. You want to see the good deeds of the other party in the same way. What a dangerous situation. It drags you into a completely different event. Let's look at it from the perspective of the one who is envied. What should be done to avoid being jealous? Everyone should think about their social circles. Some people socialize on social media, some in their friend groups, some at school, and some at work. It might be best to act in a way that doesn't provoke others in these areas. Or sharing your happiness, joys, and the things that make you feel good with people you genuinely believe are sincere could help make things a bit easier. Because the evil eye is true, right? Our Prophet, peace be upon him, says that it is true. We should not move away from this fact. So why is he jealous of me? It means he sees something in me. It means there's something he doesn't have. We can take precautions on our own, such as I need to bring it down a little, or I need to pay attention to this trait of mine, or I shouldn't talk about it. I also want to empathize with the person who is jealous. Normally, a jealous person is called like this, right? Allah forbid, he causes harm, he shouldn't be too involved in our lives. I want us to empathize, friends. Someone is jealous of you and envious of you. Why is he doing this? Look, you have children and he doesn't. Maybe you're at a certain standard of living, he has worked hard but still hasn't reached the level he wants. Maybe you're in a very good place with very little effort and Allah's blessings. He grew up without receiving the slightest attention from his mother or father. You, on the other hand, have grown up like a baby rose. Now, look at it from that person's perspective. Isn't it very easy for the devil to deceive him? When you establish this empathy, you cannot think like this. Do you see what a bad person he is? He is jealous. He does this and that out of envy. We cannot say, why does he think like this? What does he find lacking in himself? And then he looks at what I have. You should also consider this. I wonder if I provoke him with the feeling of showing off something within myself, with the feeling of competition. Do I have a share in his feeling of envy? One should also question oneself a little. I mean, this brother feels this, but we need to think about whether it's not my fault at all or whether everything is because of him. If the success of a sibling, a friend, a loved one cannot make us happy, if it creates such a pain in our hearts, then friends, there's a big problem there. We have to eliminate that malfunction. Look, we talked about how it should be, right? We talked about everything. But if you say it doesn't work no matter what we do, then walk away. Stay away. No one is more valuable than your afterlife. I don't mean to be offended. Of course, don't be offended. But if you're like this, start walking away. Do you know where the greatest enemy like this arises? In close relationships, in kinship, between daughters-in-law and sister-in-laws. Even between spouses. What is the closest bond? The bond of husband and wife, right? Don't say that such a thing can't happen between spouses. It does happen. If one of the spouses has a higher salary, the other may envy it, right? When someone says he gets a higher salary than you, his wife's heart may start to change, right? You know, they say that too much closeness leads to quick separation. So I have to end this. No one is more important than my afterlife. Go away. Don't be close. Assalamu alaikum. Alaikum salam. How are you? I'm good. How are you? Okay, that's it. Don't be close. Don't share. Don't let others share. Believe me, that friend is not more important than your hereafter. Because Allah forbid, it's a very big sin. Because it can throw you into a situation that can lead you to this very big sin and other sins. Try to soften your sincerity a little more. Reduce some of your connections. When you do this, you will see that it really works. And when we do the things we talked about in the beginning, inshallah, we will start to heal ourselves little by little. Finally, what did we say? If we cannot be happy with someone else's happiness, which is probably the most important thing we should teach our children, is to teach them to be happy with someone else's happiness. Look, your friend is so happy. Should we congratulate him? Let's buy him a gift together. Look, he learned to read the Quran. It's a big step for him. Teach these. A child who is happy with someone else's happiness will not care about anything when he grows up. You will teach him that because he can be happy with someone else's happiness and show contentment for himself. This is our problem. We cannot be happy with someone else's happiness. Inside us, we directly ask, what about me? Comparisons begin. What about my life? He has a car. He does this. He has a house. He doesn't have to worry about trends. Inside, the devil directly says, what about you? Do you see that you're having difficulty? Look, you're having a hard time with this too. If we allow it, the situation will take a completely different turn. But if you don't allow it and focus on disciplining the ego, trying to tame it in some way, nothing will happen. And it's okay to have it. Allah gave you this feeling, but you don't let it out. You struggle. Allah also sees your effort. Finally, as you know, we have a companion called Abdullah ibn Abbas, who is called the translator of the Quran. This companion is one of our very valuable companions and he has a very nice saying. Here are his sentences about not being envious and the level a Muslim should really reach, which we will hear shortly. He says, sometimes a verse I read from the Quran shakes me so much that I immediately wish my other believer brothers would understand these messages. Look, he understands something nice and says, it is so dependent on others that if it rains on a brother's garden and there was abundance and he got a lot of crops, I would be so happy that it would be as if I had obtained that crop. He becomes as happy as if he had done it himself, maybe even happier than that. If I hear that there's a fair judge in such a place and gives fair judgments, I would be so happy that I would feel as if fair judgments had been made about me. This is the level we need to reach. To be happy with someone else's happiness, to worry about someone else's problems, and to be content with what you have. We also talked about how it would happen. I hope Allah will make us among those who can discipline themselves at this point. It is truly a great virtue. May Allah grant us to reach that level. Let's recite Al-Fatiha for the sake of Allah.
Think about the darkest moment in your life. Now imagine a light appeared, guiding you out of that darkness. That light could be a video made possible by your support. As the Eternal Passenger Woman Volunteer Team, with your help, we have already inspired many people to embrace Islam.